Yeah, and especially coming out on a Friday night. I don't know if you're here out of obligation, because I know Asians are really, really good at obligation. So, but whatever the reason you're here, we thank you, because, you know, it's nice to have somebody here when we're going to talk. So, and I did do Zumba last night for the first time. It was awesome. Thank you, ladies. I will not make you dance tonight. So if you're worried and you still want to move forward, feel free. We are not going to dance, so we're not going to go that wild. I also want to say, I came from a Presbyterian background, so this is kind of cool to come back to my roots. And I still, when I go home to visit my mom and the other rest of my family, you know, I still go to the Presbyterian church with them, and I value my roots in the Presbyterian church very much. I mean, I really do. I was raised on the hymns, and I mean, those hymns, I don't know, I'm glad to see that you guys sing, you know, other things too, but, you know, the hymns were written by really awesome people, you know, way back when, and they have the Spirit of God in them, so I really do value hymns, and I value lots of other kinds of music too, David would tell you, so. It's nice to appreciate everything, you know, and just find God in the music that you have, you know, but I do appreciate my Presbyterian roots. When I was growing up, about when I got to high school was when the Jesus movement was on. And so there was, you know, there was lots to do. I mean, there was always, so my friends and I were going up to the college campus and going to, you know, Bible studies or worship things there. And those college kids are crazy. So, you know, we're joining there. And then we'd go over to the Calvary Temple, which was the real wild place, you know. But then I'd go back on Sunday to my church, which I still valued, you know, even though, you know. So I got a whole mixture of stuff when I was growing up. So, and I thought I would just share a little bit about kind of my story, how God connected with me. So I was raised in the church. I know probably a lot of us have that story, you know, raised in the church. But, you know, sometimes we have the up and down. Sometimes we haven't really come into our faith until we finally come to one of those decision points and go, I really have to decide to choose this for myself. You know, I went because my parents took me, or for whatever reason. And sometimes you think you were believers, but then, you know, you get to the point, you go, I have to choose this myself. So, I'd been raised in the church, and when I was 12, our family dog, my beloved dog, got hit by a car and died. And at that point, I had not had any close family members, relatives that I knew hardly at all die. I mean, this was like the first big thing for me. And so that night, when I went to bed, and I was saying my prayers as usual, but I'm crying, and I'm saying, you know, God, how did, you know, why did you have to let this happen? And oh, my dog died, and, you know, I'm pouring out my heart. And then I started to say things like, you know, God, I have done all these things for you. I have gone to Sunday school my whole life. I've gone to church. I've gone to the youth group. I've done this. I've done that. You know, you haven't done one thing for me. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. So I'm saying this to God while I'm, you know, pouring out my heart. And so, but then I find that, you know, I'm so upset and I'm angry. And the more I'm thinking about how much I've done for God and he hasn't done anything for me, then I finally say, you know, I have done so much. You haven't done one thing for me. You know what? I am just not even going to pray anymore. I'm not. In fact, I don't even think there is a God. I'm done. Basically is what I said. Now, I don't know if I was really done or not. I mean, I felt pretty done right then. And what happened next was life change. It was an experience. It was real. I mean, it wasn't a vision. It wasn't anything. All of a sudden, I was in God's hand. And then I saw him tip me over. I mean, I'm just little in his hand. He tipped me over, and I fell through blackness. I mean, it was just falling, and it was totally black. I mean, the falling was scary. I was experiencing the falling. But the really, really, truly scary part was that I knew in that blackness, it was absence of God. And that is the word that was in my head. I'm 12. I mean, I'm not some profound thinker. I mean, understand me. I'm not. But I knew in this 12-year-old brain that there was absence of God in that place of blackness and falling. And really, I mean, that's what hell is, right? Absence of God. So, I mean, and that was so terrifying. It only happened for just, I don't know how long, brief period. And then his hand came down here and caught me again. And then I knew, as only God can do this, that he holds everybody, you know, the whole world fits in his hand, and he holds us so close like this, and his eye is on us, always looking at us with such love, because we're his children. He created each one of us, and he knows who we are. He created each one of us for a reason. We're not just like random. I mean, he delighted to create the personality and the destiny and the intent in each one of us. And so he's so excited about each one of us. So he holds us all here and he looks at us. And his desire is, of course, relationship. And all he wants is for us to turn around and see him. And see that he loves us. So that he can just pour out even more love onto us. And he just loves us. And even when we're facing this way, and we're like, I don't need God, I don't need you, or, you know, I don't need your help, or whatever it is we do, you know, there is no God. Even when we're facing this way, he still just continues to look at us with such great love and passion. Because his heart desires us, desires relationships. And I also knew, I mean, I understand, I'm 12, that he continues to love us and just pursue us and look at us until that time we die and we fall out of his hands, if we have not chosen. And his heart weeps when we fall out of his hands, because that is never his intent. He wants every single one of his children, no matter how bad they are, how evil, how anything, he wants them to live with him. He can redeem them. So I knew that God existed and loved me. So from that point on, you could never ever convince me that there wasn't a God. So that really, really changed my life. Now, you have to understand, I did not tell anybody about this experience for a long time, like years, because I'm Presbyterian. I have never heard the word vision other than vision for the church type of thing. I've never heard like somebody say, I had a vision from the Lord. I've never heard that. I'd never heard there was a word from the Lord, that there was a prophetic word, that I had an experience that wasn't like in this physical realm. I mean, I didn't know what to say about it. You know, so I just didn't tell anybody. I just knew that it profoundly changed my life and my relationship with God and set the pace. And it wasn't till I bet I hardly even told anybody until I was 20. So, and then I started to realize how really amazing this experience was, that I really understood all those things as a 12-year-old. You know, I mean, only God can do that. I mean, there was no words. And, you know, I just remember back in my bedroom again, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. So I wasn't crying anymore about, you know, you haven't done anything for me. And I realized that he has done everything for me, and he never ceased to let me go. So what I really wanted to talk about tonight was that relationship that he wants. And I always truly believe that it is no mistake that you are here. You know, for certain things, it's not a mistake that you come here tonight. And again, even if you've come because you feel like it's obligation, or the pastor asked you to come, or you know, felt like it's a nice thing to do, or whatever, it doesn't matter. God can work through all that. He's very sneaky. He can use whatever means it takes to get people here. And the reason he wanted you here is because he wants a deeper relationship with you. And I always laugh that God sends me to people who are hungry. So that's why God had David call me. Not because I'm like anything special, but we all have different giftings that he's given us. And David was really hungry. God was moving in him. Really hungry. And I just really believe that about every single person here, that God has so much more for you. It doesn't matter where your relationship is with him right now. There's more. I mean, there's always going to be more, even when you get to heaven, because, I mean, heaven, I mean, it might get kind of boring if you just got there and then it was the same. I mean, right? I mean, you know, I mean, it's going to be fantastic because God's God and it's amazing. And you get to talk to, you know, Jesus and go, you know, on the Great Lakes and all that kind of stuff. But there's always going to be more. You will never, ever get to the end of God. I mean, even the angels are astounded because they're always learning stuff all the time. So it's cool. I mean, you know, so there's more, there's more, there's more. You will never get to the end of God in heaven, or there's plenty here while you're here, still alive today, and he has so much more for you. And he has a destiny and a plan and a purpose for each one of you. And we kind of forget that. We kind of get, you know, going in our lives, and, you know, I'm going to go to work, and I've got to do this, and I got to get that, you know, and I'm going to school. I got to go to school all the time, and I got to do homework, so I don't know how God's going to talk destiny with me, because I'm always in school doing homework. And, you know, or maybe you're like, well, I'm raising kids, so, you know, that's what I spend my life doing. But it doesn't, he knows the timing of everything. And he has the plan and a destiny and a purpose for each one of us. So I think tomorrow we'll tell you a little bit about our history and what he's been doing in our lives. And even though there's places that it feels like it's been sort of like, you know, really, God, the timing is really off here. Are you sure? Like, going, why did you take so long? You know, but it's his timing. And once you look back, you go, oh, I see what he was doing. I get it now, you know, and it was wise of him to wait, not listen. So there's always something that he's doing. Our lives are never, ever, ever, ever random. There isn't anything random about our life because he has so much. He's always there looking and watching. But the other thing he wants us to learn is how to come into his rest. So we know rest, you know. Yeah, that's when you, like, either you're working really hard and you sit down to take a breather for a minute or go to sleep. That is rest, but that's not the rest that we're going to talk about. We're talking about a rest with, like, a capital R, rest. Because the rest of the Lord, he talks about in the Bible, is a place where just you and the Lord get together. Just the Lord. Spend time with him. Because, like we're saying, it's all about relationship. Right? He wants us to know his love for us. It's not like this, you know, bad thing, like, you know, well, you better come and rest. See, we tend to do that so much. I better do it. I better get going on something. I better come into his rest because I should do that. Well, this is just out of great love. Like, I'm just going to come and be at rest. We always feel like we've got to be doing something, right? Because if I'm not doing something, then I must not be serving God. I better do it. I better do some more. I better go to that Friday night meeting and hear those guest speakers from Oregon. Oh, believe me, I know. So I want to read you a passage that's pretty cool. And if anybody feels sleepy, you're just welcome to stand up and go pace at the back or anything, because I am the worst person when I get sleep. I just want to sit there. So I'm coming to my scripture here. Okay. This is a passage you may or may not recognize. Let me find it. Oh. Okay. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Can we say that in church? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? I mean, burned out on religion. Are you tired? Are you worn out? I think most of us feel that way a lot of the time, kind of tired and worn out. And he's saying, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And the rest, coming into the rest of the Lord. Oh, sorry, yeah. Thank you, that's why I sit here. This is Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. And that was out of the Message Bible. And I like the Message Bible when I'm speaking, especially in giving scriptures, because we're really used to how the verses sound. When we're out of the NIV or whatever, you know, Taiwanese Bible, you know, Taiwanese standards. I don't know what you, we get really used to hearing the same scriptures, right? And it's, even though you really want to grab onto them, we're so used to hearing them that they just kind of sort of go in and out. You know, yeah, yeah, I know that, right? I mean, I do that. I'm thinking maybe somebody else does that. So you read out the message, you go, I've never heard that. Where in the Bible is that? You know, well, that's in the message. Because he puts it in modern language, it's a little bit different. So anyway, he's saying, come away with the rest. And he says, work with me. So he's not saying that we're not going to do something, but the whole premise is learning how to come away and just be in that place of rest where you just close yourself in like this. You just close yourself in with peace and just stay there for a little bit. It's like when this time of worship that we had, it's a chance for you to slow down and connect. Be with him. He does not want anything else from us except relationships and just being with him. And he knows we get burned out. He knows we get tired. He knows we just put, we keep saying yes to everything, and pretty soon your plate's way too full, and now you're like, oh. He wants us to learn how to come away, have that time with him. Everything that happens in your life comes out of the rest. Everything. Everything that he speaks to regularly will come out of that rested lifestyle. And the battle plans that he has for you, the freedom from fear and worry and stress, get there by entering rest. You have to come in and spend time with him and be in relationship with him. I mean, he is a God who's like majestic and the God of the entire universe and universes. He's huge, but he's also the God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you every second of the day. I'm looking at you. I'm this close. I mean, I don't feel very comforted if I feel like he's out at the farthest edge of the universe and he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, there's times when it's like, I really need an up close and personal Jesus. Right? I mean, it's like, I got some problems right now. And he is here. I mean, he's there. He's here. Very close. We talk with him. We can have, you know, intimacy with him. And that's all he desires. Because he loved each one of us so much. He just wants that closeness. He wants us to know that he is passionate about us. I'll tell you a secret. Just up until just a couple of years ago, I had this belief that I did not realize that I had, but it's very clear. I believe that, of course, God loved me because, you know, he's God, and of course he loves everybody, but I really believed he only loved me because he had to. You know, because he's God, he has to love me, but I always kind of felt like he wasn't very happy. So, I mean, anytime then you feel like, oh, well, I, you know, didn't pray enough. I didn't pray at all. I didn't read my Bible. Oh, well, I might as well not even try to talk to him today because he's already unhappy with me, you know. You know, I felt like he'd be like, oh, Karen, you know, doggone, I wish I didn't have to love her because she's always messing up. You know, I mean, you just feel like you're a burden to him. Anybody else feel like this? I didn't realize that that was the belief I had. So, consequently, I'm always trying to work, you know. I gotta try to please him more so he doesn't have to feel like he has to love me and it's such a burden, you know. And it's just, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I am so free now. I finally, because I have learned how to come into the rest, I understand that he really, truly, truly likes me. He likes to hang out with me. He even thinks I'm funny. Doesn't laugh at me when I dance. Probably laughed at you, David, but you didn't. Yeah. But it's a good laugh, I know. I mean, I finally believe that Jesus is with me all the time and that he likes to be here. He would never leave me. He doesn't judge me. He doesn't condemn me. He, you know, gets me back on the path if I need it. But he really loves to hang out with me. Do you know how freeing that is? You know, imagine what it would be like if you were raised where nobody ever, nobody in your family, nobody at school, nobody in your life ever said anything bad to you. I mean, that everything you ever heard was positive and good. Like, you're going to be so much, you're going to do so well. Oh, I love you. You are the most amazing person. What if you heard that the whole time? We'd be different people, wouldn't we? We wouldn't have all these inner wounds and worrying about stuff and thinking about what people think about us. And that is how God, he's trying to talk to us and say that all the time, but we kind of just end up hearing all these other voices that are out there instead of really receiving what our Father has for us. And it's been really cool since I've learned, I mean, I still have a lot more work to do on entering the rest all the time, but it becomes a lifestyle so that even when you come out of your little closed-in place, still walk in that peace because you get settled in there. And it becomes a lifestyle. And then it's like, wow, I just don't get angry or frustrated like I, you know. Now I can just trust him because I come in that place, because I'm in relationship with him, because I understand how big and amazing he is, because I have a lot more trust. I really do believe him now. Still works on that. There's lots of little areas where, you know, he goes, well, you believe me over here, but you don't believe me here. But because I have so much more belief, now I can just be at rest. I just get to be at peace about a ton of stuff. You know, and coming into the rest, what happens is, you know, I know a lot of time we think, well, if I rest too much, then I'm going to get lazy. And I'm not going to get anything done. That I really have to get stuff done. Well, what happens is, you come into the rest, and then you just get to listen to him. So, I mean, of course we have things. We've got work, we've got school, we've got children, whatever. But some of this other stuff, you can just listen to him. I mean, look at Jesus. So he'd get up, I mean, he'd minister all day, and then he would get up in the middle of the night or early morning hours, and he'd go away and pray, and that just seems overwhelming to me. It's like, well, I'm tired. I don't know that I can do that. So he'd go away. He'd spend time praying to the Lord and get his battle plan. He'd get into the rest of the Lord at that point. He'd go out and minister. And then, like, when they were, he and the disciples get in that boat and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. Really, really, really rough. So rough that these tough fishermen are afraid they're going to drown, right? I mean, they're just like, ah, we're going to drown. We're going to capsize out in the middle. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. I mean, Jesus, come on. But I mean, he was at rest. He was released. Just go to sleep right then. He knew who he was. He knew what was happening. His Father released him to just, rest, time to sleep. I know you're tired. You know, he didn't have to do anything. And it was a good lesson for the disciples because they're like, you know, calling out, don't you care about us? Well, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, you could rest too. So. But what happens is he takes away all the pressure from the shoulds and the musts. You know, someone saying, well, you should do this, whatever. Kind of like, I just rest. And if the Lord says that I should go do that, or, you know, he wants me to do that, well, I should go do that. I know, it's really, I can see your minds are like going, I don't know, you're making me make a left turn with my brain. I'm so used to doing stuff. Kind of hard to break out of that habit, but the more you spend time with the Lord and entering that rest, the easier it gets because you feel more and more and more. And he has lots of things for us to do, lots of things. But he wants us to have the energy and the time for those things and maybe not the things that we have just loaded ourselves with where we just feel so burdened down. We feel overwhelmed so much. He wants us people of joy and gladness, be able to have some time, you know. I mean, our faces don't look very joyful a lot of the time. We're kind of like overwhelmed. I mean, I know I would always tell David, you know, David, the Lord's saying, lighten up, you know. Right? Didn't I say you that a lot? Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I mean, it was like the Lord wants us to be full of joy and happy. He's a happy God. I mean, he's not just like waiting for us to, you know, make a mistake and he goes, lightning bolt, you know, try that again. I mean, he's not. He's just
like, oh my gosh, you're my children, I want to have fun, I'm going to throw you a party, let's have fun, let's do a little bit of fun stuff, let's laugh, let's smile. Because that's the kind of God he is, and we sometimes forget that he really is like that. I mean, shoot, he went to a wedding and made a ton of wine. What's that about? Wow. I mean, what he could have said, oh, you guys drink water. It's not a happy occasion. You guys drink water, I'm afraid something's going to happen if you drink wine. I mean, he made a ton of wine. I mean, not just a little bit. I mean, he made those great big giant ceremonial wine. Because it was, you know, weddings were joyous occasions. And he knows what is, you know, what's good for people. Isn't that cool? Our God made wine at a wedding. I just think that's neat. I mean, I'm waiting for him to make fudge or something. Enjoy chocolate or something. So, relationship. That's what he wants. More and more and more. And no matter where you are in your relationship with him, he says it's always more. So, trying to think, see where else he wants to go from here. Because we're going to practice, actually, in a minute. You don't have to dance. You don't have to dance. I'm telling you. When you enter the place of rest, you'll know you're there. Because when you good at practicing, you cannot worry. You can't worry. All of a sudden, everything that has been so stressing you out kind of melts the more you sit there. It's like, sitting there, deep to me, hanging out, and it gets quiet. And I would recommend you stay in that place until you quiet. It takes us a little bit to unload all this stuff, you know. It's like, oh, so much weight I'm carrying. He wants to not have to worry. Because he's a God who's big enough, isn't he? He is big enough. We've kind of forgotten that because we need to be in charge of our own lives. And that's why we get so burdened down by this stuff. Because we're trying to be in charge. When really, he's just like going, I just want you to be children. You know, here, let me handle that stuff. I can do it. Give it to me. That makes me happy. Now you guys, enjoy your life. Well, enjoy what I have to do. Go talk to people, you know. Go have relationships with people. Because it's fun. It's good. It's loving. Philippians 4:6. That's the scripture that says, be anxious for nothing. I don't know about you, but I have spent a good portion of my life being anxious, worrying, and we kind of, you know, worry is okay, you think. I mean, we worry about our children, we worry about our finances, we worry about things at our job, we worry about, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? We worry about politics. And we, especially as believers in the church worldwide, so I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the church as a whole, we've kind of been like, it's okay to worry about certain things. We worry about our health. Or we worry that we have cancer. And we kind of, we even express that. Well, I'm pretty worried about that. But somehow, I mean, what is that verse that says, be anxious for nothing? I mean, that means worry, right? So, why is it that we kind of wear this badge of honor? Well, I'm pretty worried about this. You know, we posted up here. Here's what I'm worried about. Because we talk about it all the time, right? I'm really guilty, so I'm talking about myself too. But when it says be anxious for nothing, it means do not do that. It's not a suggestion. He's not just saying, you probably shouldn't be anxious. I mean, this is like a command. Do not worry. Because it is bad for us. He designed it so we don't have to carry this worry. He has an answer for everything, right? And so he doesn't want us to carry that. He can carry that. He wants to take it. He wants us to feel like you are in charge. I can give all of this to you. So, number one, it's too much weight for us to carry, and it's too much of a burden. It occupies too much of our mind. That weight of worry, stress, actually does put physical weight on our bodies. And we know more and more that medical science is proving so many diseases now that we have in our bodies are caused by worry and stress, things like that. So he's saying, you know, I know the effects it has on your body and your mind and everything else by worry, but it also becomes a sin. If he says don't worry, don't be anxious, well, what is that? You're saying, no, I'm not going to listen to that one? It's just sort of this double whammy. It becomes a sin when we're anxious and worried. Uh-oh. You know, we should be like, oh, God, I'm sorry. I've been really anxious and worried. I need to give that up. Well, he says don't be anxious. It must be because he has a solution, and that is, come unto me, all your favors, weary. You know, that one I dread. I can't quote that one. I like it much better. You know, he won't give you anything too heavy. He can carry the rest. He always will carry the rest if you can trust him with that. Always. Always. He's so trustworthy that we somehow never learn to trust him that much because we are so used to being in control ourselves. Right? I mean, it's like, I better be in charge because, you know, what if God doesn't come through? Or what if I don't do it, then it might not ever get done. Does anybody feel that way? I gotta take charge! But he's like going, well, really you don't. I kind of have a better way. So, that other verse, Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind on you. So I love this expression. It says, you embrace what you face. So if I have, my biggest fear is right in front of me, or, you know, I have a, you know, maybe I've been diagnosed with cancer or something, or something traumatic is happening in my finances or at my job or with my child, whatever. If I'm staring at the problem right here, I'm going to embrace it because this is the only thing I can see. So pretty soon I am consumed by it. So I am going to embrace what I face. But yet, well, here's the Lord right here. I can turn around and I look at him. I embrace him. He takes care of this. Maybe the enemy is coming against you and really harassing you. Well, don't look at him and don't sit there and stare at your problem. Look at the Lord. Embrace him, face him, embrace him, he takes care of the rest. If we stare too long at our problem, it's all consuming, it's way too heavy, right? Too much for us to do. So we need to fix our eyes on the Lord. He's awesome. He's really, really good to us. He told me once, when we were in a place of rest, and he said, you know, there's always going to be a battle cry for something. A battle cry. You know, need help here. Help there. This is happening in this place in the world. He said there's always going to be a battle cry. He said that very few will linger with me just a little bit longer. Because who leads the battle anyway? Jesus, right? I mean, he's the commander of the army. So why do we try to run out and get ahead of him? Well, I better go do that. I need to tell you, oh, maybe they do, but maybe that's not the battle you're supposed to be engaged in right then. So Lord, a little bit longer. He's not running out yet. Linger a little bit longer. Okay. Stay with me. Good. You can hang out here a little bit longer. I'm not leaving quite yet. Say. And I mean, that really struck me is how quick I jump up and run off. You know, it's like, oh, I better go do that. I better go pray about that. I better go, you know, but sometimes it's like, oh, hang out with Jesus because he's really the one that we're seeking after anyway. The other funny thing I think is like, you know, I love worship and I love getting to worship. So awesome. You know those times when you just really feel the Lord's presence is so, so good. And then I don't know why it is that we're all of a sudden it's like, okay, let's do announcements now, and then we, it's like, well, it's like we come to church to get in his presence, and then we go on to the next thing. It's like, and I'm really guilty too, because it's like, oh yeah, now on to the next thing. It's like, oh, you can stay there for a while. But we've kind of like, we're all trained to sort of like, you know, oh, we got there, and now let's move on, you know, let's go to the next thing and stuff. And so, and that is not anything against pastors. We have all do that because for some reason we're not very good at staying with the Lord for a little bit longer. So what I want to do, and I think we're going to practice this. Some of you may practice already, but we're just going to come into that place of rest. For me, it's, I like to picture it as like, as if went into like a photo booth or something, you know, and you just close this little door, you know. So for me, I like to do it like, so I can do it sitting like at the airport or something, lots of people around, and sort of close yourself in, you know. And when I'm at home, I mean, I can just sit on my sofa and it's all quiet, have the Lord sit by me, wait. Even if you go, well, I'm not sure that I feel his presence here, it's okay when you intentionally say, okay, Lord, you and me, we're just going to hang out for a little bit. You can quiet yourself. You don't have to pray. Don't pray. Don't pray. Don't say anything. Be quiet. There's no obligation. You don't have to do anything. So we're not doing entering. Okay, so we're going to sit quiet for several minutes. That's all. No. Don't worry about it. We're not going to dance when we're done after several minutes. So I just want to assure you, we're just going to get quiet. You and the Lord love you. Okay? We're going to get quiet for okay? The Lord, thank you. Entering into your presence now, each one.